22 Sundays, off and on, we've looked at basic Bible teachings about different subjects in the Bible. So this is number 23. This is the last one. I want to talk about problems and conflicts. What does the Bible have to say about it? No fancy outline, no alliterative outline today, guys. We're going to look at two passages in the Bible, 2 Timothy 3 and Hebrews chapter 12. 2 Timothy 3 and Hebrews chapter 12. So when we look at problems, Tivel in Fiddler on the Roof said, "Trouble? Life is trouble." And boy, he nailed it right on the head. There's a Jewish saying, "Troubles that don't show on your face lie on your heart." There's another saying, "Every day brings its own troubles." Job chapter 5, verse 7, "Yet man is born of trouble as sparks fly upward." If you've ever had a fireplace or a campfire, that's the direction sparks go, is upward. Just as sparks always go upward, people are always born into trouble. Now, someone said one time, "Why can't we have all of our problems when we're teenagers and we know all the answers?" Yeah, but we don't. But the Bible teaches us that problems are common. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But the Lord with the temptation will give you a way of deliverance." And we have that promise from God, but problems are common to everybody. One of the unique things in counseling people is everybody thinks their problem is unique. You know, you've never had anything happen to you that someone else hadn't happened to them. You haven't had a problem or a fear or an anxiety or a stress that someone else has had it before you. We are not unique, even though we feel like we're the only one. That's why support groups are so important. But there are three types of troubles. There are the intrapersonal troubles. Those are the problems we have inside ourselves. Ron Dunn, famous pastor in Texas, big influence on my life when I was a teenager. Ron Dunn said that his pastor had been pastor of the church for about 10 years, taken a lot of stands in the community, upset a lot of people. And so he announced a month in advance, "On Sunday night, I'm going to preach on the man in this town that gives me the most trouble." And he put that in the newspaper. "I want to preach on the man that gives me the most trouble." And that Sunday night came, and the church was full, and there were politicians, and the mayor was there, and some of them brought their lawyers so they could sue him afterwards. And he got up, and he read Romans, where it says, "The things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, those are the very things I end up doing." And he said, "The man that gives me the most trouble in this town is me." Disappointed a lot of people, but a lot of people heard the gospel that wouldn't have come to church otherwise, including some of those lawyers. So you have intrapersonal problems. We've got problems with ourselves. We have extrapersonal problems. We have problems on the outside that press in on us. And then we have interpersonal problems. We've got problems with other people. Don't tell me there isn't one person in this world that doesn't rub you the wrong way. All right? You know, there are people that irritate me. Ignorant people irritate me, for one thing. Sometimes I have classrooms of them. But the dumbest thing a student ever said to me was, "Well, I was born in 1994, and I don't know how you expect me to know anything about anything that happened before I was born." Yeah. Interpersonal problems, problems with other people. So, you know, we've done a study on Wednesday night called "How to Handle the Happenings of Your Life." The things that happen to us come from three sources. Number one, God sends them. James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning." Then some things come from the devil. John 10:10, The thief cometh for to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So some things come from God, some things come from the devil, and some things we just bring on ourselves. James 4:1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not from your own lusts? We bring things on ourselves. You know, now some people want to blame it on the devil. Flip Wilson was famous for, the devil made me do it. Well, he may have stuck it out there, but you're the one that did it, you know. Oh, you know. It's somebody else's fault. Somebody else made me do it. Oh, I have a demon of anger. I have a demon of fear. I have a demon of anxiety. I have a demon of a headache. Blame it on demons, okay? Some of it we just did to ourselves, guys. We play the blame game. Now, one of the things we need to have is discernment. If it comes from God, we accept it. Comes from the devil, we reject it. And if we bring it on ourselves, we correct it. That's what we're supposed to do. So the first text, we're going to do two, is 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy 3, 16. You know it, you've memorized it. 2 Timothy 3, 16. What's the purpose of the Bible? 2 Timothy 3, 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Those four things. That the man or person of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Doctrine. What is the truth? What are the principles for living a godly life? What are the things we are supposed to believe about ourselves and about God and about the world? Doctrine. Reproof. Reproof shows us where we're wrong. Where do we need to look? Reproof. Proverbs 6:23 says, the commandment of the commandment is the lamp, the law is light, and the reproof of instruction is a way of life. Doctrine, what are we supposed to believe? Reproof, where we've gone wrong. Proverbs 10:17, he that refuseth reproof erreth. Doctrine, reproof, correction. See the breakdown. Where do you make an adjustment? Where do you get back on the straight path? Correction. Trace it to a root problem, and there are three basic root problems according to the Bible. Take steps to reconstruct our thinking, reconstruct our living. Doctrine, right belief, reproof, seeing what's wrong, correction, making an adjustment, making what's wrong right, and instruction, training in right living. Now, the Bible is able to do all four of those things. And one of the places it does it is Hebrews chapter 12. That's the other passage we're going to look at this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews is a big book before Revelation. It's in front of James, okay? So if you go to Revelation and turn left, you'll go by Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John, 2 Peter, 1 Peter, James, and then there's Hebrews, okay? So if you get to Revelation, keep flipping to the left, you'll hit Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, beginning of verse 14. Now, the book of Hebrews is about Jesus being our high priest. It's really the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus is superior to Moses, he's superior to the angels, he's superior to the sacrifices, he's superior to the priesthood, he is superior to the high priest. But in chapter 12, how do we live? So what? And chapter 12 is about how to live what the book has been teaching. Hebrews 12, beginning of verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail at the grace of God. Now, there are four things in these two verses. Number one, we fail the grace of God. God gives us the grace. God gives us the strength. God gives us the power to live the Christian life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, making Jesus Lord, the transformed life, the exchanged life, whatever you want to call it. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the failure comes in failing the grace of God, verse 15. The first problem is the second half of that verse. What happens when you fail the grace of God? Three things happen. The first one is, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The root of bitterness. What does a root do? It sinks in deep. It sucks all the nutrients and moisture out of the ground. Bitterness, hatefulness, spite, grudges, hurt. It troubles us. It defiles us, being bitter. It dirties the soul. It drags down our soul. Bitterness. You might as well take a shower in acid as to be bitter, but we are. We are bitter. You understand the definition of Irish Alzheimer's? So where you forget everything but the people you don't like. You forget everything but your grudges. The root of bitterness. Now, Jeremiah says that the whole nation of Israel became bitter. Jeremiah 4:18, thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto you. You reap what you sow. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitterness, because it reacheth into thine heart. Some people are reaping what they've sowed, and they don't like the harvest, and they are bitter about it. The biggest example I could give you was the man I visited up in Lake Monroe, Florida. He's sitting there in a wheelchair in front of the TV, and he says, why did God make me have a brain hemorrhage? And I said, well, why did you drink like a fish for 40 years? You know, why do you want to blame it on God when you brought it on yourself? There's a man bitter at God, hates God, didn't even want me in his house. And he sure didn't want me in his house after I told him the truth. But sometimes it says, speak the truth in love, and people can accept it or reject it. And he was bitter at God and hateful toward people, because a life of drunkenness, and by the way, you know, the Bible doesn't say it's alcoholism. The Bible says it's drunkenness. See, we've got labels to take the sin implication out of it now. But the Bible says they're a drunk, okay? And I have this problem with paying for rehab for people. I didn't put a gun to their head and make them start drinking. I didn't put a gun to their head and make them snort that stuff. I don't know why I have to pay for it. You know, you reap what you sow. Wow, what goes around comes around. That's a law of life. So people become bitter. It's a part of our sin nature. Romans chapter 3, you know these verses. Romans chapter 3, there is none good, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They have all gone on their own way. They're altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Beware, let the root of bitterness spring up in your life. Well, how do you know you're bitter? Sometimes when you listen to people and they're complaining about something all the time, that might be a bitterness. They're criticizing something all the time, that might be a bitterness. They have a guilty conscience, that might be a bitterness. They're reaping what they sowed, that might be a bitterness. Well, bitterness can be caused by people. People will let you down, people will hurt you, people will stab you in the back. My grandfather Gertz from Germany used to say, every man is another man's devil. There are good people and there are bad people in the world. And getting bitter about it doesn't make it any better. People can cause bitterness. Being disappointed can cause bitterness. You know, life is full of disappointments. The first thing they do when you're born is they spank you. Welcome to the world, right? You ever thought about that? You eat, you get hungry again. You clean the house, it gets dirty again. You sleep, you get tired again. Wow. Let's get depressed. Let's get bitter. If you live long enough, you get old. Which, as John Smith always reminds us, is better than the alternative, okay? But some people are bitter that they're old. I'm glad they're still around, okay? I can't do what I used to. Welcome to the club, guys. You know, I never was good at much, and a lot of what I used to be good at, I can't do anymore. Wow. Don't get bitter about it. And then people make us bitter. Disappointments make us bitter. And sometimes we have a thorn in the flesh. There's something that we ask God to take away, and he leaves it there because his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Thorns in the flesh, okay? And I don't know what Paul's was. It could have been he had bad eyesight. I don't know. But we live in the now, not in the past. A lot of people are bitter that the now is different from the past. Hey, the past is gone. It ain't never coming back, guys. You know, the 70s are gone. 70s were good to me, all right? 70s are gone. I'm never going to have the 70s again, and neither are you. We live in the now. What are we going to do with the now? We can accept it and serve God in it, or we can be bitter. Wow. Now, the root of bitterness, did I cause it? What attitude should I have instead of the attitudes I have now? The root of bitterness. Now, another corollary to this is we become what we resent. We become the people we're bitter toward. You know why? It's all about focus. We have contempt for the people that hurt us, so we concentrate on the people that hurt us, and you become what you focus on. We conform to the people that hurt us. Why is it that the people we're bitter about, we become like? Boy, it's like the teenage girl, you know? She didn't want her parents telling her what to do, so what does she do? She goes and gets married. The teenage boy, he doesn't like his parents telling him what to do, so what does he do? He goes and joins the military. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I'm going to go join the military. You know, how do you spell idiot? We become what we focus on, which is why David said in Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We can focus on God, or we can focus on the people we're bitter toward. We'll become like them. We can focus on God, or we can focus on our problems. The root of bitterness. Now, the second one. Look at Hebrews 12:16. Lest there be any fornicator. Fornication. Sexual sins, but also any kind of impurity that muddies up our lives. Lying, stealing, murder, abortion, drug abuse, defrauding, moral impurity. Psalm 24:3. Who shall ascend unto the holy hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in the holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Jesus said in Matthew 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Moral impurity, pornography, lying. You know, Helen Keller said one time, those who tell white lies soon go colorblind. Boy, isn't that the truth. You know, it's tough to lie because you have to remember the lie for the next time. Tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. It's the truth. 1 Timothy 1:5 talks about the summary of the Christian life. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, now the end of the commandment is love. And then he defines it. Out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. Show me the Christian life is loving. How do you show love? A pure heart, a clear conscience, and clear faith. moral impurity. And then the last one, look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, the last part of that verse, Hebrews 12, 16. Lest there be a fornicator, moral impurity, or the third one is a profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Temporal values. What are the three things that cause problems in people's lives? Number one, root of bitterness. Number two, I can't do that. Number two, moral impurity. Number three, temporal values. Focusing on things in life that are temporary. Power, your health. You know, you can lose your health. Some of you have. Some of you, God's given it back, and some of you, he hasn't. You can lose your health. You can lose your glory. You know, maybe you used to be more important than you are now. You know, you can lose it. The victorious general in the Roman victory parade would go down in the golden chariot, and all the slaves and all the treasures he captured, all the victories he had. But behind him, as he's getting all the applause of the people in the victory parade, behind him, a slave is whispering in his ear, "All glory is fleeting." The 15 minutes of fame thing. We can have riches, they can pass away. Some of you have lost your retirement. Some of you lost your job. Some of you had savings you've lost. Weapons, you know, it says when you're a country, you trust God, not a horse. I think today it would say if you're a country, you don't trust tanks or missiles. The first trust is in God. Pleasure, boy, pleasure leaves. You can put your faith in your work. You can lose your job. Your work can become meaningless to you. What about your retirement? Well, I'm going to retire. My sister and brother-in-law have been retired for 12 years. Wow. What are they doing? Kind of nothing. And you know, I believe that if you have a pulse, God has a plan. What are they doing? They've been retired for 12 years. Nothing. Okay. They go fishing a lot. What is security? Building your life on things that won't pass away. What won't pass away? Jesus won't pass away. He's eternal. God won't pass away. He's eternal. The word of God is eternal. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Luke 21:33. The souls of people are eternal. If you invest yourself in the souls of people, then you'll be able to watch the results in those souls for eternity. Spiritual works are eternal. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For no other foundation can no man lay but that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or you can build on wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. What is real security? Building your life on things that can never be taken away. Jesus, the Bible, the souls of people, building the church. Those are things that you'll never lose. Building your life on things that are eternal. So, where do problems come from in people's lives? First of all, failing the grace of God, because God gives us the grace, God gives us the power, God gives us the strength, God gives us the forgiveness. Letting a root of bitterness. Does someone here need to make a phone call this afternoon and ask someone to forgive them? Get rid of that root of bitterness. Moral impurity, do we need to clean up our lives more? Temporal values, what could be taken away from us that would devastate us other than Jesus? Wow, building your life on things that are eternal. Now, what are we supposed to do? Root of bitterness, moral impurity, temporal values, what are we supposed to do? Whosoever confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13, and we're supposed to turn to God. James 4:8, draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh unto you. S.I. McMillan wrote a book in the 1950s called None of These Diseases. I recommend that book to every one of you. You can get used copies of it for a dollar. He's a medical doctor that looked at all the rules in the Old Testament, the dietary rules God gave the Hebrews, because they didn't know about germs. So he gave them rules like don't cook two meals in the same pot without washing it. Don't eat roadkill. Okay. He gave rules on latrines. Okay. All kind of rules like that in the Bible. S.I. McMillan says, as many as two-thirds of patients who go to doctors have symptoms caused by or aggravated by emotional stress. The sure cure for taut nerves and overwrought minds is trust in the providential care of God. Isaiah 12:2, I will trust and not be afraid. Isaiah 30:15, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Remember, the problems we have, they come from other people, they come from outside us, or we make them for ourselves, and you need to decide, discern where those problems are coming from and what the Bible says about dealing with them. Yeah, trouble? Life is trouble. Problems every day. It's just a question of what we do with them when we face them. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, then you need to do that today.